that we can get more, many more people here in the United States to also sign on to that petition. And we are asking the United Nations to please send an envoy to the United States. It's as ridiculous as it sounds, but to think that we have to petition the United Nations to come in and investigate what is happening to people of color here in the United States of America, just like they did in Guatemala when all of the assassinations were taking place in Guatemala and the people that were being attacked. We have a similar situation here in the United States that we need help. Or not. We can't get it from our own government. Maybe people in the United Nations can help and assist us.
There were many around the country who called for a general strike, bringing together the issue of labor and immigrant rights. You are a leading labor immigrant rights activist. In your final comment in these 30 seconds, do you endorse this?
Absolutely, but we know it has to take a lot of good planning to make sure it's effective. And we also want to say to people, you can go to aclu.org/knowyour-rights/immigrants-rights to help and get more information, and also to nilc.org/resources. Everybody has rights.
Dolores Huerta, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Renowned civil rights activist, co-founder of the United Farm Workers, and president of the Dolores Huerta Foundation. We spoke to her at her home in Bakersfield, California. She is 95 years old. Happy birthday to Safi Nazal. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's nominating committee meeting will be held on Tuesday, October 21st at 5 p.m. This meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if the meeting is being held.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that too. Call our car donation experts at the Center for Car Donations to find out more info, ask questions, and support KBOO. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
Not now. Not now.
You can't?
No.
Why? You can't hear anything?
No. No.
We can't hear. Oh, gosh.
Now it's in queue on your side.
Yeah, no, we can't hear anything.
Thank you. Now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO... Coming up in the KBOO Evening News, Trump can deploy the Oregon National Guard to Portland streets under a new court order.
Portland's No King protest attracts tens of thousands.
And ICE tear gases peaceful protesters.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, October 20th, 2025. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Dave Johnson. President Trump can deploy the National Guard to the streets of Portland. A ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says the appeals court overturned a lower court order that paused the troops coming into the city with a temporary restraining order. It was a 2-1 ruling, and the opinion says that Trump acted lawfully, even if his action isn't supported by facts. Judge Ryan Nelson and Bridget Beatty wrote, quote, rather than reviewing the president's determination with great deference, the district court substituted its own determination of the relevant facts and circumstances. That approach is an error, end quote. Justice Susan Graber dissented, writing, quote, given Portland protesters' well-known penchant for wearing chicken suits, inflatable frog costumes, or nothing at all when expressing their disagreement with the methods employed by ICE, observers may be tempted to view the majority's ruling, which accepts the government's characterization of Portland as a war zone, as merely absurd. She continued, saying, the ruling, quote, is not merely absurd, it erodes core constitutional principles, including sovereign states' control over their state militias and the people's First Amendment's right to assemble and to object to the government policies and actions, end quote. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield said of the ruling, quote, today's ruling, if allowed to stand, would give the president unilateral power to put Oregon soldiers in our streets with almost no justification. We are on a dangerous path in America, end quote. Rayfield called for the full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to intervene to stop National Guard troops from being deployed in Portland and second restraining order keeping National Guardsmen from other states from being deployed in Portland still stands.
More than 40,000 protesters rallied at Portland's waterfront on Saturday for a No Kings protest against the Trump administration. Inflatable costumes and frog-related signs were everywhere. The crowd was more diverse than past hands-off and No Kings protests organized by the groups 5051 and Indivisible. The demonstration featured speakers, bands, and a march through downtown. Community groups set up tables along NATO Parkway speaking to protesters. Portland police had a visible presence, blocking off roads to oncoming cars. KBOO reporters Anna Wilcox and Hannah Francis asked folks why they came to protest. Here's some of what they said.
I'm here for various reasons. One of them is I have a lot of friends and family that risk ICE threats. And so that's why I'm here today on my day off.
Tell me why you're down here.
Oh, because this is just as crazy as you could get, what's going on, a tyranny and authoritarianism and fascism that's not even trying to hide it, and just crushing everybody that's poor and immigrants. That like they forgot, except for natives, that everybody is an immigrant. I mean, I'm actually only a second generation. I mean, my grandparents came from Ellis Island. And my dad came over from Canada, from England, after the Blitzkrieg in England. So, yeah, no war. Yeah. And now fascism, a lot of the people there were trying to escape.
I'm out here protesting the desecration of our democracy, the disrespect of Americans, the kidnapping of innocents, and the degradation of immigrants who are essential to this country.
And what does your sign say?
It's two-sided. It says immigrants are essential, and the other side says warm hearts melt ice.
Well, there are lots of things to protest here. I think kind of the gutting of our institutions is probably the main thing, although dehumanizing people is pretty important to come out and protest, which we seem to have plenty of that going on. You know, it's just time to give a little respect and care back into the country that we're living in.
Well, my name's Chuck, and I'm down here. I've got a sign that says Fight Oligarchy, and on the other side it says End Plutocracy. So I'm basically a radical democracy guy, and think that in the end, the ruling class power structure is really problematic to society.
I was told from childhood that we would have a democracy and that we would have representation in Congress. And it's become pretty clear to me now that the golden age of having representation is over for the American people. The seats have been bought and paid for, and a seat at the table has become far too expensive. And the result of that is what we're seeing now, an absolute massive gap between the haves and the have-nots. And we're seeing fascism take over so that the capitalists can preserve their wealth to the detriment of the American people. And I'm pretty sick of it. I would like to have a democracy with representation. I would like to have majority rule instead of minority rule. I think that the Republican Party is a traitorous organization against the rule of law and the Constitution. And I think that entire institution needs to be dispatched to the ash pile of history.
Those were Portland No Kings protesters sharing what motivated them to come out to the mass demonstration on Saturday. Nearly 7 million people joined these protests across the nation at some 2,500 demonstrations from big cities to small rural towns. Stay tuned for KBOO News In-Depth at 5:30 for more from Saturday's No Kings protest.
After the No Kings protest on Saturday, demonstrators gathered outside the ICE facility in South Portland. ICE officers were aggressive towards the festive crowd, shooting tear gas, flashbangs, and pepper balls indiscriminately, including at people who were running away. KBOO's Anna Wilcox reports.
A group of a few hundred people gathered outside the McAdam ICE facility in Portland following Saturday's peaceful No Kings protest. The festive atmosphere of the daytime protest continued here, in front of the building. Loud music played from speakers across the street. People in costumes danced and shouted remarks at the officers standing on the roof. Medic and supply stations line one side of South Bancroft Street, near the building. The air smells like a mix of tear gas and barbecue. KBOO arrived on the scene at about 6 p.m. and talked to a person tending a charcoal grill.
All right, so what are you making?
I'm making some ribs, some pork ribs today. We got this, our fourth rack and our fifth rack on right now.
They've been out here several times, and each time they've cooked.
I think it's important. I think that when it comes to any type of action or any time that people are stepping outside, especially for, you know, marginalized people, it's important that people have, like, calories. In them, and also it's important for everybody to have different types of things. We have people who are medics down here. I saw a bunch of people who are running around, you know, all black, whatever. I was like, oh, nobody's cooking, so I was like, I'll bring down some food. And ever since, I just cook it up, you know what I'm saying? I usually bring down a couple racks of ribs, some chicken, and yeah, just making sure everybody's fed.
KBOO asked if they ever had any trouble out here cooking. They said no, but sometimes right-wing protesters have tried to agitate. While KBOO was on the scene, two small groups of right-wing protesters gathered on either side of South Bancroft Street on the edges of the protest. After 7 in the evening, officers began assembling behind the driveway gate of the building. Protesters began warning each other that guards were coming out.
Right now, it looks like some of the officers are lining up behind the gate to the ICE facility, which is something that's pretty common when they want to move cars in and out of the facility.
The officers fired flashbangs toward the back of the crowd. They sounded like fireworks and made red sparks. Officers used pepper balls to move protesters out of the area of the driveway. They also used gas canisters to clear the road while a vehicle exited the building. Clouds of gas filled the area in front of the building. It became impossible to see the building in the areas where gas was present. The gas made it difficult to breathe and stung any place it made contact with the skin. Kibu witnessed a red flashbang fired into the tear-gassed street, nearly hitting a protester in an inflatable pig costume. You could hear the sounds of a Black Hawk helicopter circling overhead. Portland Mercury reports that the gas deployment lasted for about 10 minutes. As the officers retreated back into the building, protesters in masks and goggles tried to pour water on the gas canisters. Some kicked the canisters back toward the building. Used gas canisters littered the street and the driveway to the ICE facility. Kibu talked with a veteran who was hit with a pepper ball during the event. He had a centimeter-wide round bruise on his forearm.
What happened just now?
I was standing across the street. I was past even the sidewalk. I was underneath the canopy that's got the speakers in it. And they came out because they were opening up the gate to let out a vehicle, and they let off just a barrage of stuff to clear the roads.
That was cute.
And then as they were starting to go back in, they just launched like World War III in the middle of the street. There wasn't anybody in there, but it was just nothing, and they were just firing pepper balls all around the crowd, and I took a couple hits.
And you're a veteran.
Yes.
Would you feel comfortable sharing your thoughts about like why, what drove you to be out here today?
This is not the country that I gave 9 years of my life in service for, and I'm out here to show that I completely disagree with this. It makes me sick to my stomach what they're turning my country into, and this is not what I fought for.
As the gas dissipated from the street, protesters went back to dancing. For KBOO Portland, I'm Anna Wilcox.
Millions joined nationwide No Kings protests against the Trump administration. The congressional stalemate on healthcare subsidies continues, and educators worry about federal cuts to special education programs. With those stories and more, it's Edwin J. Vieira with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
They're masked, they're heavily armed, and they're destroying the lives, the apartments, and the belongings of all these people, and they don't even know who they're gathering up.
Minnesota activist Sue Durgans was one of around 7 million people at nationwide No Kings protests this weekend. They're objecting to the ongoing indiscriminate ICE raids, National Guard deployments to democratically led cities, and funding cuts to vital programs to pay for tax breaks for the wealthy. Several Republican leaders condemn the protests as, quote, hate America rallies. Two men have been arrested for a July 4th attack on a Texas ICE detention center where a federal officer was injured. They have been charged with attempted murder and for providing material support to terrorists because they're accused of being part of a North Texas Antifa cell. The lawyer for one says there's no support for the terrorism charge, calling it politically motivated. The government shutdown approaches its fourth week with no deal in sight, and both sides are unwilling to move. Department of Agriculture officials warn if the shutdown continues into November, more than 40 million low-income people could lose their food stamp benefits. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says federal spending bills should help Americans, not harm them.
These are working-class Americans living paycheck to paycheck, struggling to get by, can barely survive, yet alone thrive in this country.
President Donald Trump and Republicans say they're open to extending Affordable Care Act insurance subsidies, though they won't commit to saving the tax credits. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says Democrats couldn't care less about Americans, accusing them of being the party that can't say yes.
We offer Democrats a clean, nonpartisan CR, no Republican policies for them to swallow, nothing for them to object to. They said no. We offer to accommodate their health care demands by guaranteeing them a vote on their proposal if they vote to reopen the government. The answer is no.
The Trump administration is laying off Education Department staff who handle special education programs. Nearly all the workers have been fired from the office implementing the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which guarantees disabled students an education. These cuts have drawn bipartisan ire. Becky Pringle with the National Education Association says the administration is turning its back on the 7.5 million disabled students in public schools.
By eliminating experts and gutting the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services, they are dismantling the critical supports students and parents depend on.
Authorities on international law warn Trump's so-called war on drug cartels blurs the line on allowable use of force, already clouded by the decades of war on terror that followed September 11th. U.S. attacks on six small ships have killed nearly 30. The White House says, without proof, they were smuggling drugs. While the U.S. Coast Guard would normally stop vessels like this, Trump says that strategy hasn't worked. But Brian Finucane with the International Crisis Group says the president doesn't have the authority to start this kind of war.
An armed conflict, whether it exists, is a question of fact. The president of the United States cannot simply declare that armed conflict exists. Furthermore, as a matter of U.S. constitutional law, it is, of course, Congress in Article 1 of the Constitution has the power to declare war, not the U.S. president.
I'm Edwin JVR for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth look at the No Kings protests that attracted over 40,000 demonstrators. At 6, it's Labor Radio. At 6:30, it's Prison Pipeline. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be clear with an overnight low of 48 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of 65. Today in history, in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. The treaty with France provided for the purchase of territory that would double the size of the U.S. It was sold for a mere $15 million. The quote of the day is from American musician Tom Petty, born this day in 1950. He said, quote, "I think for it to be unhip to be idealistic is weird. You know, I mean, even all the best rebels, to me, had some sense of hope in them."
How can it be the same? And tell me how year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart.
Tribal members opened the Seattle No Kings protests as millions across the nation took to the streets this weekend. With that story and more, it's Brian Bull with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bowles, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Millions of protesters, including many Native and Indigenous people, joined this weekend's 2,600 No Kings events held across the U.S. In video recorded by King 5 Seattle, Muckleshoot tribal member Willard Bill Jr. and the Black River Canoe family provided a drum song as part of Saturday's opening protocol for a No Kings event held at the Seattle Center. Bill expressed solidarity with the Palestinian people, saying natives know, quote, what U.S.-sponsored genocide looks like. President Trump's allies, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, criticized the No Kings rallies as un-American. Alaska Federation of Natives delegates on Saturday called for an immediate emergency declaration from President Donald Trump and more federal assistance for communities hit by the remnants of Typhoon Halong earlier this month. It was one of dozens of resolutions passed on the final day of the AFN convention in Anchorage. The storm killed at least one woman, wiped out homes and infrastructure, and displaced more than 1,000 people in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Hundreds of residents were sent to Bethel and then to emergency shelters in Anchorage over the last week. The resolution was put forward by the Association of Village Council Presidents, a tribal consortium that serves communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim region. Vivian Corthios is the group's CEO.
For this resolution, we have a lot of support from across the state. So on behalf of our region, Koyana to everyone.
The delegates amended the resolution to also include damage caused in the Northwest Arctic and Bering Strait regions and called for a Western Alaska Emergency Response Hub in Bethel. Governor Mike Dunleavy requested that Trump declare a federal disaster for Western Alaska earlier this week, but that request has not been approved as of this weekend. Alaska's congressional delegation has also urged Trump to approve the declaration. Other AFN resolutions touch on a wide array of topics, from health and safety to education and subsistence. It's been an interesting few weeks since Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin suddenly fired the tribe's controller. In the fallout, local leaders from across the biggest reservation in the U.S. are now signaling growing disapproval with his administration. KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio has details.
So far, at least two of the five regional agencies representing nearly half of the tribe's population have passed no-confidence votes in Nigrin and his estranged vice president, Rochelle Montoya.
Take me out of the equation, Rochelle Montoya. Don't worry about me.
She's even willing to leave office.
And if this is how we are going to be able to protect our people, then this is how it has to be.
But some have called on Montoya to lead, urging the council to suspend Nygren and install her as the tribe's first female president.
And I'm prepared to do that.
As for Nygren, he doesn't plan on stepping down. Citing a previous recall effort, he says those same organizers are now campaigning for no-confidence resolutions across the 110 tribal chapter houses. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And on this day in 1803, the Louisiana Purchase was ratified, which more than doubled the size of the United States. Napoleon sold the territory for $15 million, and the purchase is considered President Jefferson's landmark deal. Soon, settlers spread across the continent, and land still occupied by an estimated 700,000 Native Americans. This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull in the KLCC studios of Eugene, Oregon.
The state of Oregon is home to almost 30,000 federal workers. Many have been hurt by the government shutdown, which is nearing its fourth week. Workers for agencies like the U.S. Forest Service, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the National Guard have been furloughed and are going without pay until the impasse is resolved. Some still have to work because their service is deemed essential. Both political parties blame the other for the shutdown. Federal lawmakers have mostly been fighting over health insurance policies, which itself could affect 140,000 Oregonians. House Representative Susan Bonamici said of the opposing party late last week, quote, "This is on them. The Democrats aren't at fault. Republicans hold the power, so they need to come back to the table," end quote. But Republicans like Cliff Bentz, who is the House representative for much of rural eastern and southern Oregon, have said Democrats are themselves making unreasonable demands which hurt working people. Bentz said, quote, "We've done our part. We voted to keep the government open and over again on the Senate side and one time on the House side. It's time for the Democrats to step up," end quote. Congress failed to pass a short-term plan to fund the federal government by the time the budget year began on October 1st. The spending package needs 60 votes to so Republicans who hold 53 seats in Congress needed and still need some Democrats to take their side to pass it. Democrats did not want to approve the plan until Republicans agreed to discuss enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies set to expire at the end of the year. If they expire, monthly health insurance premiums will more than double. On average, some middle-income families will no longer qualify for any subsidy. Most Oregonians get their health insurance from their employer or the Oregon Health Plan. They will not be directly impacted by the expiration of the subsidies, but 3% of the state's population are insured through the marketplace and could see their premiums dramatically increase. And many people might be forced to drop their insurance altogether, adding to the risk of unpaid bills at hospitals and clinics.
Experts say if leaked plans to cut federal housing assistance are implemented, some 4 million Americans would lose the support that helps them pay rent. The draft rules were obtained by the news organization ProPublica and could affect more than 200,000 Washington residents who receive federal housing assistance. Isabel Charlet reports.
A draft of rules outlined Trump administration plans that could lead to some 4 million people losing federal housing assistance. Over 200,000 Washington residents receive federal rental aid, primarily seniors, families with children, and people with disabilities. The draft plans were obtained by the news organization ProPublica and have not yet been formally proposed, but they include adding time limits on living in public housing and work requirements to receive the assistance. Rachel Myers of the Washington Low Income Housing Alliance says there's no evidence showing that work requirements incentivize people to find jobs or result in more employment.
The problem isn't that people who live in public housing don't want to work or don't work. The problem is that rents are too high and incomes are too low and people just can't afford their housing, and time limits do nothing to address that.
Housing in Washington state costs 53% more than the national average, according to data from the Council for Community and Economic Research. The next steps for the Trump administration's possible changes are uncertain. The draft rules include a proposal previously attempted in the first Trump administration to revoke housing assistance from entire families that are found to have one undocumented member. Myers emphasizes the rule was never finalized, due in part to public opposition.
I think it's really, really important to know that this is, at this point, just a leaked draft, and even if it becomes a proposal, there will still be a process.
In the meantime, Meyer says it is helpful for lawmakers to hear stories from people about how housing assistance has supported them. On the state level, she says she expects lawmakers to consider new progressive revenue options in order to address Washington's budget shortfall and support those who struggle to pay for housing. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, October 20th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast include Josh Salem, Anna Wilcox, Hannah Francis, Eric Leuschner, and Terrence Burns. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Sherry Meredith. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Brian Bull, Eric Galatis, Shantaya Hudson, and Edwin J. Vieira. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Dave Johnson.
And I'm Althea Billings. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members, lovely folks like you. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in depth.
KBOO News.